Of the soul, and Srila Vyasadeva. Although Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father, Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instructions of another great soul, Sri Narada Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmana to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavata. Srimad Bhagavatam is based on the transcendental name, form, attributes, pastimes, entourage, and variegatedness of the Supreme Person, and it is spoken by the incarnation of the personality of Godhead, Srila Vyasadeva. Pastimes of the Lord are executed in cooperation with his pure devotees, and consequently, historical incidences are mentioned in this great literature because they are related to Krishna. It is called Brahma Samhitam because it is the sound representative of Lord Krishna, like the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is the sound incarnation of the Lord because it is spoken by the Supreme Lord. And Srimad Bhagavatam is the sound representative of the Lord because it was spoken by the incarnation of the Lord about the activities of the Lord. As stated in the beginning of this book, it is the essence of the Vedic desire tree and the natural commentation of the Brahma Sutras, the topmost philosophical thesis on the subject matter of Brahman. Vyasadeva appeared at the end of the Dwapara Yuga as the son of Satyavati, and therefore the word Dwaparabhata, or the beginning of Dwapara Yuga, in this context means just prior to the beginning of the Kali Yuga. The logic of this statement, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, is comparable to that of calling the upper portion of the tree the beginning. The root of the tree is the beginning of the tree, but in common knowledge, the upper portion of the tree is first seen. In that way, the end of the tree is accepted as its root. Chakshuvanitamena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya namishtam sthapitami anubhutale swayam rupa gnanam dadati svaparantikam andeyam shri guru shri dvaparikamam shri guru vaishnavanascha shri rupamcha sadhanatam sadhana gurunatam tamtam sadhivam sarvetam sarvajuktam prajnasaitam krishna chaitanya Shivaya Krishna Janam, Savakana Lama, Laitan Shri Krishna, Kankatam Yascha. Hey Krishna, Kuna Sindhu, Dina Pandu, Jagapate, Obesha, Bhopika, Kanta, 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 Mosite, Tapta Kamsna, Gorangi, Rade, Vinda, Vaneshi, Krishna, Sute, Kamanam, Kamipriye, Pancha, Kalpa, Chubhiyasa, Kripa, Sindhu, Devacha, Patitana, Pavane, Yo, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shrivastadi Kumara Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna. I'd like to thank my spiritual master for giving me this opportunity of speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. Spiritual masters want us to, their desire is to preach stories of Krishna, and they mostly engage us in that activity for our purification. So today, today's verse, well, quickly, so you've heard hearing about the pastime, transcendental pastime of Prakriti Maharaj and Shukadeva Goswami. So it's day one for Prakriti Maharaj. He has 7 days to live after being cursed by Shuni, the young Brahmana boy. And so on day seven of the curse, it will happen that a snake bird will supposed snake bird, heard that it's actually there's no such thing as a snake bird, but it will come and bite Prakriti Maharaj and he'll leave his body. So he knows his death is coming. this scenario of preaching marriage, fasting on the Ganges River, and great sage Sukadeva Goswami appearing. This scenario was created by the supreme will of the Lord. And Preacher Maharaj accepted that. So we've already heard from devotees that you know, whatever our present circumstance in this material world or in our spiritual life, that has been arranged and sanctioned by the Lord. Nothing can happen without the will of the Lord. You know, Krishna would never say, "Oh, that happened, but I didn't allow that to happen. How did that happen?" Krishna willed everything to happen. So according to our past desires and our activities, we are placed in a certain material situation. So this is the personal responsibility that we have to take for our life and what's happening to us. No one can blame Krishna. You did this to me, and everything's under your control, so now I'm suffering. But actually, even the so-called successful materialist, which everyone's aspiring to be as well, they're also suffering because that material prosperity will be taken away by the force of time, and I'll have to start again in a new body. And thinking about that reminded me of a game we used to play. It's called Snakes and Ladders. Kids play these board games, and we had snakes and ladders, so they have this big square board, and you roll the dice. So it's a game we'll come in. And you go so many places, and maybe if you land on the ladder, you get promoted up. So in mature life, you go up to the heavenly planets, or on this earth, you become very rich, very wealthy, and a lot of followers and opulence. But then time goes on, and you move along, and you land on the snake, and you go down. And so it starts over again like that, so it's the whole cycle of going up the ladders and down the snakes. And this is all an illusion for the spirit soul. The spirit soul has nothing to do with the material world. And so all this suffering in the material world is just, as Prabhupada explains, the root cause of our suffering is the forgetfulness of our relationship with God, Krishna. So just in complete forgetfulness and ignorance, we're going in the cycle of birth and death. But if we see, as devotees, if we learn to see everything as the arrangement of Krishna, then we can be undisturbed by whatever's going on. And that's, we need that so we can keep some mental clarity by using our intelligence to see that it's all the arrangement of Krishna. Then with that clear mind, we can practice meditation on the holy name, the form and the qualities, pastimes of Krishna. But if we're getting disturbed by everything that's going on, then there's no question of meditating on Krishna. So for Preacher Maharaj, it's day one, and on day seven he will pass away. But for us, when will our, we can ask ourselves, when will our day seven come? If today our seventh day, we have no idea. I think it was last week, Keshav Peru was the same, mentioned to me, he was in a minor accident in his car, so because the car wasn't worth very much, then it got written off, so it was too costly to repair it. So that was, he was saying it was just in a heavy traffic, so it was low speed, everyone was kind of inching along as you're doing material life, and it was just a minor accident, he bumped into the car in front of him. So, you know, that's, I guess, you know, fortunate he wasn't injured in that incident. But there's, we hear in the news all the time, there's always major accidents where someone's just a whole, you know, truck wipes out a car, you know, whole car full of people, not just mind the driver and four passengers or something. So these disasters are happening all the time in material existence. People have to leave their body in tragic circumstances. But as we go along in devotional service, you know, we don't have to, you know, lament too much that we're not 100% pure yet, because this devotional service is a process for becoming purified. As long as we understanding our relationship with Krishna and the material world, and understanding the process for the process of devotional service, and understanding the goal, and then if we're applying that very humbly and applying it very sincerely to the best of our ability, then that's sufficient. We don't have to say, "Oh, I'm just, you know, I'm so contaminated." As long as we're applying the process of devotional service, then that's what we need to attract the mercy of Krishna. Because the whole process of devotional service is about attracting Krishna's mercy. All our endeavors are not sufficient to take us back to Godhead. Especially in Kali Yuga, living entities are very falling into the bodily concept of life. So this does mean that we shouldn't endeavor in our devotional service. Actually, it's just the opposite. It means that we should endeavor really, really hard, but with the mood of submission and surrender to Krishna, just hoping that one day Krishna will give us his mercy, and get the mercy of our spiritual master. As Prabhupada's spiritual master said, we don't try to see the Lord, but we try to act in a way that the Lord wants to see us. So, after Maharaj Pariksit sat on the bank of the Yamuna, surrounded by many hundreds and thousands of exalted sages who had heard the Emperor's renunciation, Shukadeva Goswami appeared. And he appeared, that description was in the previous chapter, the last chapter of the first canto, and he appeared in very, you know, effulgent form, beautiful bodily features, and he also appeared naked, which is usually considered uncivilized in human society. To not cover the lower half of the body is considered uncivilized. So we see even Prabhupada, this basic aspect of human culture had to be, you know, has to be taught to people these days. Like, if new people come and they don't know, you're not meant to, you know, you have to cover the lower half. So all these things are very, you know, such, you know, Prabhupada raised us like babies to train us in devotional service. And because society today is very animalistic, everyone's just pursuing the animal propensities. But the sages could see that Shukadeva Goswami was different. Although he was naked, by his appearance, the sages could understand that he was the most exalted, more exalted than any of them. And so they wanted him. So we have this in the start of each volume of Bhagavatam, we have this picture, which is, you know, the pastime that we're discussing now with everyone. Did you do this in school? You had show and tell. So we have there Shukadeva Goswami, and presumably Maharaj Pariksit before him, kneeling before him, and in the audience Śrīla Vyāsadeva, many great sages. So actually this is meditation. We're given these descriptions in Srimad Bhagavatam, what's going on in this transcendent pastimes. And meditation means to take those descriptions and try to envision these transcendental pastimes of the Lord's confidential devotees. The concept of meditation nowadays is very just artificially emptying the mind, like, because people are so disturbed by, you know, the mode of passion and ignorance, they just want relief from what's going on in their mind, so they think meditation is to empty the mind. But actual meditation is trying to experience what's being described in the Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures, but especially Bhagavatam. So it's a sensory thing. It's engaging our spiritual senses. We try to, you know, taste. Maybe there's a description of, like, especially you can think of in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, so many pastimes where he's honouring prasadam and with his devotees and reciprocating in that way by accepting prasadam and offering prasadam. So with these descriptions we can try to taste, what would this preparation taste like? And in the Bhagavatam, so many personalities are speaking. So we can try to imagine, or not imagine, but according to the descriptions given, what they sound like. Krishna is described, you know, when Krishna is like killing a demon or something. Might be described that he spoke in a loud, deep voice to the demon, you know, very angry, powerful voice. So we can try to imagine how that would sound. Krishna speaking that way. Yeah. Usually, the description is given, his voice sounds like that of a thunderbolt or, you know, rumbling clouds like that. And then, you know, in Krishna Lila or Vrindavan Lila, oftentimes there'll be descriptions of the fragrances and smells of the, example, the lotus flowers that are floating on the water, or the, you know, the breeze is carrying so many nice aromas around Vrindavan. So we can try to absorb our minds in this kind of, what would that smell like? And then we have the sense of touch. So everything, all these objects, they have a specific texture, you know, good, hard, rough, or something smooth. So the descriptions in Bhagavatam, these things are described as well, they're spiritual descriptions. And to see the forms of the great personalities, there's so many descriptions of the appearance of great personalities, and you know, generally we're not interested in, you know, bodily features. We're trying to get off the bodily platform. We're too much, you know, absorbed and attracted to material beauty. But these descriptions of spiritual personalities are the cure. If we're thinking about how Krishna looks, or Shukadeva Goswami, we had previously his description, then that purifies us. And we can only understand the Lord with our spiritual senses. We don't have to deny the senses, which is a method of the impersonalists or the jnanis, yogis, etc. they just shut themselves off from the world and retire to the Himalayas or something and try to shut down the activities of the senses. But bhakti yoga is not like that. We purify the senses and spiritualize them, make them spiritual senses. Well, they're already there, we have a spiritual body. And the body needs senses, so spiritual senses. So this is the level of meditation that we need to aspire for. Of course, there's restrictions in the beginning from to control the senses and just check our material conditioning. We have heavy conditioning, so you can't need to do something to cut that, no meat eating, etc. This meditation of the transcendental form and everything of the Lord and His devotees is possible just by attentive hearing of the holy name, because all this name, form, pastimes and qualities of the Supreme Lord is contained in the holy name. This is such an amazing thing about the holy name that that we can gradually realize that everything is just in the Maha Mantra. So this pastime of Shukadeva Goswami Maharaj Kurukshetra on the bank of the Yamuna is also a transcendental pastime. It's not only Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan that are transcendental, but all of the pastimes connected with Krishna's devotees are transcendental, not mundane. So we come to this, we can try to approach this level of meditating on the Lord by cultivation. That's the process, because Rupa Goswami describes that pure bhakti is free from free from the contaminations of jnana and karma and yoga. How do we get free of those things if we're going to come to pure bhakti uttama? How do we get to pure bhakti and get rid of the contaminations? And the process is given. Anukul yena krishnam shilanam bhakti uttama. Cultivation of loving feelings toward the Supreme Lord. So Krishna is not our enemy. Generally, people approach the Lord wanting him to put a humble request before Krishna. Please serve my mission, becoming a successful materialist. And if you don't, then I don't know. But Krishna is actually Surya, the Suryamsa Bhutan. He loves every living entity without distinction. So Krishna loves us, and our business is to love him back. And then that reciprocation, he will allow us to deepen our meditation on him, because that will be our desire. If we're loving Krishna, then naturally we want to become absorbed in him. The essence of Bhagavad Gita is to absorb the mind in Krishna. And everything about it, so much that we can absorb our mind in about Krishna. But generally, instead, in material life or in the lower stages of devotional service, then we're just meditating on the body and the pains and the pleasure of the body, and people offering me enough respect to my body? Is my belly satisfied? I have so much to do. How do I get it all done? That's the false ego. Practicing Pranayama. So we're thinking we're the doer, so we're just absorbed in us, we're doing everything. But Krishna is the doer. The spirit soul doesn't do anything. Everything is carried out by material nature in under Krishna's direction. And all of that is carried out according to the karma that we have created by our desires. So to meditate on Krishna, we need to understand our spiritual relationship with him from the Shastras, Bhagavad Gita. We need to apply that knowledge by bhakti yoga, hearing and chanting about Krishna's name and his glories. And then we'll make some steady progress to the goal of pure bhakti. That study is a very misverse. Srila Shukadeva Goswami studied Srimad Bhagavatam from his father, Srila Vyasadeva. So Shukadeva Goswami didn't study Bhagavatam independently. In the same way, we won't be able to understand transcendental knowledge without taking shelter of the devotees. Only by the mercy of the devotees can we understand transcendental knowledge. So we can have many, as well as our Diksha Guru, we have many Siksha Gurus, senior devotees, just like, you know, I have every day here this little, you know, cover booklet, bring along the Srimad Bhagavatam to class every day. And probably the reason I started doing that was because Mataji brings her book every day. So in this way we follow the example of our senior devotees and take instruction from them. And I hear their classes regularly. And because I know people that have read cover to cover, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, but they don't realize that they're still a soul. You know, they're still acting. Like, that's the first instruction of Bhagavad Gita, but we can't even understand that without taking shelter of devotees. So, I know people that have read, you know, Cantos 1 to 12, and actually, there's a guy that helps out at CrossFit, he's like, oh, I'm reading Bhagavatam for the fourth time. I'm like, wow. But he's just, you know, but then he talks about, oh yeah, I went to this music concert on the weekend and it was great and I had Hare Krishna food. So we have to inquire from the devotees and not just approach Bhagavatam by ourselves. Otherwise, you know, we're just hovering around the Anita, as Prabhupada's example. From the outside of this bhakti yoga, it looks really good, you know, transcendental knowledge and, you know, unlimited bliss, looks great, but we can't enter into that. If we don't get a high taste by entering into that, then people just go back into material life. So when we get entrance into that spiritual life, the taste of spiritual life is given to us by the spiritual master who's coming in a bona fide chain of succession. As we sing in the morning, we can only attain pure devotional service by their mercy. And they reveal transcendental knowledge in the heart. Anyone that's on the path of pure devotional service, they can also be considered a pure devotee. you know, Prabhupada gives that example of a green mango and a ripe mango. So if we're practicing chanting every day and following the four regulative principles, then in one sense it can be considered we're practicing pure devotional service. So in the course of time, as long as we stick to that path, then we'll attain the level of pure devotion. So the spiritual master doesn't have to be physically present to receive their mercy. They we get their mercy by, as we know, following their instructions. Then they'll be with us all the time. They're, you know, we're kind of seeing them everywhere in their instructions. So this Srimad Bhagavatam described in the first canto that it's described as a natural commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, because Vyasadeva compiled the Vedanta Sutra. He also compiled Srimad Bhagavatam, but in his maturity. So whatever's in Vedanta Sutra is more fully realized and expressed in Srimad Bhagavatam, because Srila Vyasadeva had realized it. So it was interesting, I was reading in Bhujan Puri's comments that Srila Vyasadeva compiled all the Vedas, and so that includes the Puranas, and Srimad Bhagavatam is counted amongst the Puranas, Bhagavat Purana. So at that time he compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, but it was only in an abbreviated form, it wasn't complete. So, but then he compiled all the Vedic literature, and as we saw in the first canto, he still wasn't satisfied. He was feeling some emptiness in his heart. So he got instruction from Narada Muni, and then he got some more realization. Then he revised the Srimad Bhagavatam, which he had already compiled. And so that became the Bhagavatam that we now have. And the pastime of Shukadeva Goswami being taught, as he's describing today, that Shukadeva Goswami says he studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam from his father. That's described in the first canto of Bhagavatam in chapter 7. Because when Shukadeva Goswami was born, after spending, Prabhupada describes, he spent 12 years in the womb and he wouldn't come out, he didn't want to be affected by Maya. But he eventually came out, but immediately he left home, he was Bhagavad Kataria. He left home and was traveling or around. So Vyasadeva ran after him, calling out, "My son, please come back." And but he wouldn't come back, so Srila Vyasadeva got some people to take two verses from Srimad Bhagavatam to take to Shukadeva Goswami to attract him. And that's described to be a verse from third canto, second chapter, verse 23, and a verse from 10th canto, chapter 21, verse 5. And these two verses were describing Krishna's compassion and Krishna's beauty. So these people were sent by Vyasadeva and they recited these verses to Shukadeva Goswami, and so he became attracted back. He was already liberated. Instead, he got attracted back and he came back to home, came back to Srila Vyasadeva and learned the Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. And then there's that verse in the first canto, the Atmarama verse, that Krishna is all attractive. He can attract even the liberated sages with his transcendental qualities, his transcendental beauty and strength and wealth, attract the minds of even sages like Shukadeva Goswami. So So in material life, we're generally attracted by the perverted reflections of these qualities that Krishna has in full. But the original qualities coming from Krishna, he's the original source. So Shukadeva Goswami learnt Bhagavatam from his father, not independently. And also, we can learn that parents and teachers, there's many natural gurus that we have. And it's natural for us to follow them. Kids grow up and Srila Vyasadeva is Shukadeva Goswami's father. So as Prabhupada writes, we should, this is the duty of any natural leader to give instruction to their dependents. And I saw a nice example. I was thinking about this, giving class or whatever, a few days ago. And I saw a nice example of this just when I walked down toward the back of the temple. Then there's one Mataji circumambulating Tulsi House as Kripa Siddha Prabhu's wife. So, and their son, Hayagriva, he was just following, Mataji around the Tulsi House. He doesn't know what's going on, it's just kids, they're just innocent. But he's circumambulating Tulsi, so he's getting so much benefit. And you see that all the time in the temple as well, the kids just kind of rush up to the altar and jump on the floor and offer obeisances to Krishna. Krishna doesn't see them, they're not sincere, they don't know what they're doing. He's very kind in this way that he just sees they're offering obeisances. This living entity is approaching me that's also the other advantage of giving training to when people are young, because they don't have all these misconceptions. They just approach Krishna in basically pure devotion or in a very innocent way. So they're not coming to Krishna for material gain, they're not coming to Krishna, they're just following. So this is the importance of following that. Even if we don't get training when we're young, and Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, at least from the time that we understand the importance of bhakti yoga, then from that time we can take it up very sincerely and still get benefit. So again, these are the main points that we get from this verse, that the Srimad Bhagavatam Prabhupada puts an emphasis on this sentence in the purport, that it's the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead. So, people think about religion as, it's just God, there's God, that's it. But it's a science to understand a relationship to Krishna, his relationship to the material world, what's the process of getting there. So it's a very, very elevated subject matter that we're trying to understand. And, without much qualification at all in Kali Yuga. So we, as Prabhupada is stressing, we have to learn it from great realized souls. Now, he's giving just even a material example. No one can become a doctor or a physician without studying and taking guidance from someone who's already qualified. So I wouldn't get my tooth pulled out of something by someone who just read books about dentistry. So, no one would. There's no trust. You have to understand that be confident that they've taken instruction from someone else who knows. So this is the parampara. The main things in the verse that we have to approach Srimad Bhagavatam through the devotees, and also that just following is all we have to do in our spiritual life, and we'll be, you know, carried along by the mercy of the devotees just by following their instructions. But we must stay in the association of the devotees, and associating in the sense that not just being in the physical presence, like so many people come every day here for prasadam, but they're not actually associating with devotees there. They're associating with the prasadam, which is good. But to associate with devotees basically means to come submissive to them and inquire how to advance in spiritual life, and imbibe their values and qualities, and learn from them. That's the real association. So I'll just end there and see if anyone would like to ask a question or make a comment. Yeah.